Okay, let's talk about sparkling wine. Whether you're like me and you buy a brand name that sounds familiar or grab it because it's on sale, or whether you're a seasoned champagne taster and drinker, hopefully you'll pick up some useful ideas and new kernels of knowledge in the next 25 minutes. I'm Jason Lopez, and this is the holiday version of Central Coast AVA here on KCBX. So let's start where the majority of us begin when it comes to investigating wine and spirits for the holidays. Costco, or maybe BevMo, but Costco is the biggest retailer of wine in the country, and they have a great thought process around their selections, especially in San Luis Obispo. They sell high-end as well as budget wines, with plenty getting 90 points or higher, and all in the like $20 to $25 range, occasionally more than that, and there's a good selection of local labels too. I'm sold. I get a case of wine comprised of a variety of bottles every month. But when it comes to bubbly, it's a little different story. At last count, there are more than 60 Central Coast wineries from Salinas to Santa Barbara making a sparkling wine. And you're not going to find many of them, most of them at least, at big box stores. But in whatever county you live, Monterey, SLO, or Santa Barbara, if you haven't tried locally made sparklers, there's got to be one near you. The exciting thing is, just as California winemakers put a stake in the ground on the quality and personality of American wine, there's arguably a movement happening with sparkling wine. Some makers are even bold enough to call it American champagne, and perhaps that's just being cheeky, because only sparkling wine made in the Champagne region of France can be called champagne. Some Central Coast makers of sparkling wine use bottle caps, for heaven's sakes. That's actually kind of cool. But Dom Perignon's probably spinning in his grave. Or maybe not, because he actually didn't invent champagne. An Englishman did. But the French certainly created the method to make the drink that's most highly prized, at least for now. As we'll learn, in France, by law, you're limited to a handful of grape varieties to make champagne. Here on the Central Coast, winemakers are using all sorts of grapes and their imaginations to create some extraordinary things. So the aim of this report is not to say don't buy French and buy local, but in your quest for finding something of quality that's interesting and new, your local winery just might have it.
One of the things that Champagne did wrong when they started putting out their marketing is that they really put it out there as a special occasion wine, and they made it something that, you know, we all believe if it's our birthday or if it's our anniversary, that's when we drink a bottle of champagne.
That's Jenna Congdon, who's the manager and wine buyer for the station in San Luis Obispo. She points out that champagne producers in the late 1800s successfully promoted their drink as a luxury for special occasions, but in so doing, inferred that sparkling wine is not for everyday drinking or with food.
People don't think of it as a pairing wine, but it's great with, of course, oysters. That's pretty common to see it with. And things like gougere and cheese. Those are very traditional champagne pairings. I have a fondness for both, you know, goat cheese and also kind of the funkier triple cream cheeses. Those are beautiful with champagne. But even when you get into the Blanc de Noir, you can start pairing with stews and braises. They have kind of a deeper berry fruit to them, those wines, and to me, like a little earthy, mushroomy note, but they still have a lot of acidity, so they cut through kind of some of the fattier, richer dishes, especially of the holiday season. So they make a great holiday pairing wine.
Jenna Congdon used to be a wine sales rep, knocking at the doors of restaurants, wine bars, and stores, so she knows the tricks of the trade. If Jenna isn't at the station wine bar or at the Granada Bistro in SLO, where she also handles the wine buying, she's in L.A. or San Francisco searching out wines you can't find anywhere else. And great minds tend to think alike. The other person you'll hear in this report is Ali Karskaden, who owns the 15C Wine Bar in Templeton. Ali is a certified advanced sommelier through the Wine and Spirits Education Trust and also through the Court of Masters Sommeliers. 15C is a place for finding great wines that aren't well known or widely available. Jenna and Ali gave us some terrific insights into sparkling wine and answers to some popular questions. What kinds of sparkling wine are there? What kind of glass should I use? Why does sparkling wine give me a headache?
The thing that a lot of people don't know about sparkling wine is there's different ways to make it. There's different ways to get those bubbles in the bottle. And one of the easiest way to get the bubbles in the bottle is to put them there, literally carbonate it. And that's one of the problems with many, not all, of those inexpensive bottles of sparkling wine, is that when you have a carbonated sparkling wine, you are basically drinking soda pop. I mean, I have so many people come in and say, oh, I can't drink bubbles because it gives me a headache. Well, it gives you a headache because you're drinking carbonated alcoholic beverages. And you can tell when it's poured in your glass, if it looks like somebody poured 7-Up in your glass, you get different sized bubbles from all over the place, kind of exploding in the glass. That's how you can tell that something's been carbonated. There are a few different styles of very high quality sparkling wine where the bubbles come from the process of fermentation. The bubbles are a byproduct of fermentation. Carbon dioxide is a byproduct of turning the sugar into alcohol, and it gets absorbed in the liquid. And so those are the types of sparkling wines you want to drink, even if you're on a budget. You can find some incredible value sparkling wines.
We asked each of them, Jenna the wine rep and Ali the sommelier, now both running wine bars, what's a good affordable sparkling wine? It's always nice to get consensus, especially when two experts look at the same issue from slightly different points of view. Jenna Congdon says there's a sparkling wine made just like the champagne in France that won't cost an arm and a leg if you're entertaining a big group.
If you're buying for a crowd, if you're hosting a large holiday party, then you might want to find a really high quality cava. Cava is a region in northern Spain called Penedès, and you can find some really high quality bottlings of cava.
They have virtually the exact same aging requirements, production requirements, they have in champagne. It's mind-blowing. You can buy cavas for $10 a bottle and up that have been bottle fermented and aged on the lees. Oftentimes, like this one that I brought here, this is Marqués de Galeda. It's a family-owned estate property. It's biodynamically farmed. They have Chardonnay and Pinot Noir, as well as indigenous Spanish varietals. And it's a beautiful bottle of sparkling wine that when you pour it in the glass, you get those tiny little strings of pearls, those tiny little strings of bubbles coming up from the bottom. And whether you're going to add orange juice to it and have it mimosas in the morning when the whole family's, you know, got that food hangover from the big meal the night before opening presents, or whether you're going to toast with it as a cheerful holiday toast, cavas are where you want to be. And this is like $20 a bottle, but like I said, you can buy $10 bottles of cava, and as long as you see that word cava on the label, you know it's a quality bottle fermented sparkling wine.
So cava is a great can't-miss choice for the novice wine buyer. But since Jenna and Ali are hardly novices, you might expect they'd have the inside track on actual champagne that we mere mortals would only be lucky if we stumbled on it. Jenna Congdon says Aubrey Brut Premier Cru is a great find and drinking well.
My very favorite champagne that we have here at the shop, it's made by these two twin brothers who I visited when I was in Champagne, and the experience I had there was just so authentic, and the job that they're doing there is so just wonderful, really great wines, and unique because people know Champagne for Chardonnay, Pinot Noir, Pinot Meunier, but there's actually 7 grape varieties being grown in Champagne, but most of them make up 2% of the vineyards. So this wine has all 7 grape varieties.
Ali Karskaden has a special champagne selection she's liking a lot these days too, from the producer Jay LaSalle.
It is a mother-daughter grower-producer Premier Cru, so they own all their own vineyards, and that's a really important thing in Champagne, because in Champagne, all the big houses like Veuve Clicquot, that yellow label that you see at Costco and stuff like that. So Jay LaSalle is one of my favorites. It's imported by Kermit Lynch. It's a fabulous value, great price point, $70 for the rosé, $50 for the Brut. And when you're buying champagne, you're going to spend more money because it's true champagne. You're not going to find, you know, Clicquot at Costco is going to be the cheapest champagne you're going to find. And that's like one of the most mass-produced champagne houses in the world.
in the past, it was always the big négociant houses that were being brought over here and being imported. So you saw a lot of the same champagnes. You saw, you know, the Veuve Clicquot, that like signature yellow label, and the Bollinger. There was maybe four or five champagnes that you would see always on the shelves. And now there's a new movement called the grower-producer movement, récoltant manipulant. And those are people who own and farm the lands that they're making the champagne from. So before, champagne was largely built on this model of the farmers growing the grapes and then selling them to cooperatives or négociants and not having a hand in making the wines. And the négociants focused on this style, always this style. So it was more about blending than it was about terroir, about like tasting where that fruit is from. But when you buy a grower-producer, you get a sense of that terroir. You get a sense of the earth, and it's a small producer, so you're basically supporting a farmer and his family when you buy the récoltant manipulant instead of the négociant wines.
What is it that you're buying when you buy Clicquot or when you buy, you know, Dom Pérignon? Well, Dom Pérignon, I think, starts like $150, $175 for a bottle.
Part of what you're buying is marketing. And that's the interesting thing, when that difference between the grower-producer and the négociants is when you buy a bottle of grower-producer champagne, you buy an excellent small production champagne at, you know, $38 to $55 a bottle. I'm not saying there's not really expensive grower-producer champagne out there, because there absolutely is. But every one of those dollars is kind of going back to a smaller house in a lot of ways, and going back into the land and going back into that winery. When you're talking about Veuve Clicquot or Dom Pérignon, you are paying for marketing as well as fantastic product. It shouldn't be, I mean, that history should not be scoffed at. But there's just, to me, something a little more authentic about the smaller grower-producer champagne movement.
So now let's talk about Central Coast sparkling wine, because it's not just a novelty. As I said in the beginning, there are more than 60 wineries in Monterey, Santa Barbara, and SLO counties making at least one sparkling wine, if not four or five. Leticia in Arroyo Grande has the biggest operation, with a French grape press made for the Champagne method of sparkling wine production. When you think of high tech and disruption and people inventing the next big thing, it's natural to think of Silicon Valley. That same spirit of invention just might be emerging in California with sparkling wine.
Sparkling wine's very, very hard to make. It's a complicated process. If you're making a true bottle fermented sparkling wine, the bottle has to actually be touched numerous times. And, you know, that's one of the reasons why it's just something that hasn't been available to us until recently. And luckily, recently, there are a number of local producers who are making some really nice, high-quality sparkling wines. And I'm lucky enough to be down the street from one of them. I have a very good friend, Neil Roberts, who's the winemaker, owner of Clavo Cellars. And more importantly, he's a famous viticulturalist. So he manages vineyards all over the county for very high-end wineries. And because of that, he's able to source his own fruit for his own label from pretty much wherever he wants. So this is the second year that he's made a sparkling wine called Corazon, which means heart in Spanish. And it's a traditional bottle fermented sparkling wine from Grenache Blanc. It's $30 a bottle. It's an incredible value. And it's a really high quality, beautiful sparkling wine with a very festive label for those people who are into the labels.
Neil, do you have a cave?
I don't have a cave. I have a man cave at home with a lot of wine in it. So we've opened a few bottles time to time in it. So yeah. And in fact, we have some old champagne. Krug is one of my favorite champagnes, and so one of these days we're going to break open some of that, some 98, some 2002, so yeah.
You don't need a cave, though, to make good sparkling.
No, you don't need a cave. You don't need a cave to make good wine. You just need a place.
Neil Roberts says the idea of making a serious sparkling wine kind of emerged between himself and Paso Robles winemaker McPrice Myers. They were doing a project together and had the thin rows of Grenache grapes.
And instead of dropping it on the ground, we decided to pick it, and at a fairly low sugar, like 21, 22, and decided to make sparkling wine out of it. So he started his, and I started mine, and then it's kind of morphed into that. And so I grow some fruit on the west side of Paso here that's Grenache Blanc, and instead of using the Grenache, which actually when you pick Grenache and you don't leave it on the skins, it actually becomes a white wine. So so since I wanted to keep it true to the grape, I just had availability of Grenache Blanc, which is on the west side. It's very, and it's got a little bit more acid than where I had the fruit on the east side of the valley. And so it just kind of morphed into that. And I like cavas, and so my brand is, so to speak, is more Spanish orientated. So it just kind of, it was a good fit. So. Yeah.
Now, in terms of a sparkling wine culture, is this something that you think might grow on the Central Coast, or is there not much of a market for it, or what is your sense of this?
Well, I think it's an emerging market. I think there's maybe a dozen or so wineries, producers that are making sparkling now. And I think that what's interesting, they're using all kinds of different kind of grapes. So it's kind of a click or a cliquish kind of thing, and I think people are discovering it. I'm actually, we were just having a marketing meeting this morning, and we're going to kind of focus more towards the sparkling production as opposed to white wine production, because we think this sells better than actually our white wines. So people seem to be, there seems to be kind of a renaissance back into people exploring sparkling wines.
What's your experience been so far in terms of how sparkling wine sells? Is this the time of year?
Definitely the time of year. I mean, and that's why, you know, we put the heart on it, because that way, you know, something special. And we got a little quote on the back here from my favorite entertainer, Elvis Presley. So all I ever wanted was to help people, love them, lift them up, and spread some joy. So that's from Elvis, by the way. So, you know, and so, I mean, that's what sparkling is all about. And definitely this is a season to celebrate, and family and friends and everything that goes with it.
Yeah, I just to add on that a little bit, you know, when you look at the world as far as wine production, California, let alone the Central Coast, is such a new, we're newbies, we're still babies, you know, and that's why we have French people that have moved here so that they can experiment with varietals that they're not allowed to plant and make in their specific region, where they have to grow specific things certain ways and make it certain ways. So the cool thing, like Neil was talking about the renaissance of sparkling wine, what's happening is all these amazingly talented winemakers who, you know, have successful brands and have gotten this winemaking thing down are now starting to experiment with sparkling wines. And not just that, but different varietals from different regions around the Central Coast, warmer climate, cooler climates. And now we have this influx, you know, like I was saying, Scar of the Seas doing some sparkling wine, our buddy McPrice Myers, Max doing sparkling wine. There's all Devlet and Herman Story, and there's all these cool local guys doing really good quality sparkling wines with things that you wouldn't think of. Like, nobody else in the world makes a sparkling wine from Grenache Blanc, and let alone think about it, they were going to drop that fruit on the ground. So now we're being even more sustainable with the wine industry by taking something that was once going to just go to waste and producing a beautiful local product out of it that's something that nobody would have ever thought of before.
I like to drink it in a white wine glass and not a champagne glass. I like to allow the sparkling wine to warm up just a little bit, because it'll show more features of the wine if it gets a little bit warmer. I'm not talking about like room temperature. And certainly when you open the bottle, you want it to be very cold. But then I like to sit it on the table rather than keep it in the fridge. And then I like a little bit of a white wine glass instead of a flute. Plus, are easier to clean at the end of the night.
Well, I do remember seeing on those album covers from the 40s and 50s where people had champagne glasses, and they're not tall. They're actually quite wide.
That was the coupe. That's the coupe glass that was supposedly modeled after the breast of Marie Antoinette. But I don't know if that's actually true. Those are really fun glasses, but what you want is a taller glass that you can really kind of stick your nose in. I'm going to stick my nose in this glass like this, and you can still, you can really get the aroma of the wine. The problem with the coupes is you can smell the surface, but you really can't stick your nose in there.
Hopefully you've gotten some useful insights on sparkling wine and maybe even some ideas you can't find on Wikipedia, which is a great thing about KCBX listenership or even being a member. Something else you won't find on Wikipedia, a list of all the producers of sparkling wine on the Central Coast that we could find. We might have missed one or two, so let us know if we did. Here's a short list for the radio. Check the Central Coast AVA podcast soon on the KCBX website for the whole list. Up in Monterey County, there's the well-known Caraccioli Cellars, as well as McIntyre Vineyards and Scheide. The SLO North County has a bunch of them, like Castoro, Four Sisters, Hammer Sky, Jack Creek Cellars, Wild Coyote, Pomar Junction, Tobin James, Carmody McKnight, Niner, Derby Wine Estates, Chronic, and Cass, just to name a few. In the South County, you might try Alape, Halcyon, although we heard they might be sold out, and two makers of apple sparkling wine from Sea Canyon Apples, and those come from Domaine Lemieux and Kelsey, and of course, Laetitia, which makes a series of strictly traditionally made sparkling wines. In Santa Barbara County, there's Summerwood and the Fess Parker label Bubble Shack, and the Italian-style sparkling winemaker Mosby. You might also look into Brewer Clifton, Clo Pepe, Artiste, and Flying Goat. They have their goat bubbles in a bottle that's sealed with a bottle cap instead of a cork. How's that for sustainability? Stoltman Vineyards is sold out, but there's always next year, and Calira makes a sparkler that's aged 12 years. Could be an exciting time for bubbles in California as we watch a category emerge, and it'll be interesting to see if California sparkling wines have their judgment of Paris too. I'm Jason Lopez. This is Central Coast AVA on KCBX.